Hello, Acceleration Nation, and welcome to another episode of the Sick Career Podcast. Today's episode, we're talking about something that has impacted me throughout my career. It's mental health. On October 10th, it is World Mental Health Day. The objective of this day is to raise awareness of mental health issues around the world and to mobilize efforts in support of mental health. And while I talk a lot about careers and career growth, it's not always easy. And there's lots of challenges on your feelings, your thoughts, how you react to things, and your mental state. And I've suffered multiple times throughout my career dealing with the ups and downs of the career journey. So I want to share a little bit about my background with mental health support, and a variety of such. Just to give a little context, I have very minimal training in psychology. So I was going to undergraduate school, Binghamton University, and I got a major in psychology. And with that, I then decided to go to get a PhD in clinical psychology. I thought that's what I wanted to do. I was told that one of the most prestigious things you can do with a psychology degree is get a PhD in clinical psychology. So that's kind of what I did. I was 21, didn't really know all that much at the time. I started in a very prestigious, selective PhD program in clinical psychology at University of Delaware. They gave me a full ride and covered my tuition and also actually gave me a stipend of about $12,000 or $13,000, which was a lot of money back in 1996 when I was living in Delaware. Not a lot of money, but enough to get me by on a $400 a month rent, I think I was paying at the time. So I have a little bit of a background in psychology. Also, for context, my mom became a social worker later in her life, and now she's been a social worker for probably about 20, 30 years or so. So I've been in and around this space and have some perspective about that. But I want to talk a little bit about my career journey, and I'll take you through that through the lens of my LinkedIn profile and where I had some challenges and where I had to leverage support of multiple different mental health professionals. And I use the term mental health a little bit, not loosely, but I consider lots of different individuals and coaches that work on mindset, work on your mental health, work on your confidence, work on mental stability in that bucket. So we'll talk a little bit about the different people that I've worked with over the course of my career. Going back on my career, for people that are watching this on video, I'm going through my LinkedIn profile. I was a grocery store clerk when I was 14. Then I interned at Paul Corporation. I worked there in Long Island. I had lots of jobs in high school. So I spent some time in high school working, making some money. But my first real job didn't happen until after I graduated college. After college, as I said, I started going for a PhD in clinical psychology. After one semester, I dropped out of that and wanted to figure out what else to do. So I started temping, and I was able to get opportunities to turn temporary work into full-time work at Arnhold & Bleichroeder. It was an equity research shop. I went from there to CIBC, also doing equity research, and from CIBC to UBS, also doing equity research. So each one of those stops, I got more money, more responsibility, and worked on different industries. After my time at UBS, I got poached by a friend of mine who worked in venture capital. He recruited me in venture capital. I worked in VC for 2.5 years, and that was the first time I was really struggled from a competency perspective in my job. I received a performance improvement plan there. I was basically told that I wasn't doing a great job, and it was true. My heart was not in it, and I was not being proactive in the job. And at that point, I spoke to my mom. My mom recommended that I speak to a career coach or social worker in the career space. And she set me up with a referral in her network, this guy Perry, who's a social worker, great guy. I worked with Perry on trying to figure out what I was going to do next in my career. So he was a social worker, but it was really the first time that I spoke to a therapist. He was a therapist. He spoke a lot about my interests, desires, my fears, and things of that nature. And he helped me to create a direction that I had previously landed jobs mostly because of money or just kind of landed in my lap. But I thought that I needed to be more conscientious about a decision for my career. I thought long and hard with Perry and figured out that I wanted to unite my passion for baseball at the time and sports analytics with a career. So the book Moneyball came out from Michael Lewis. I was speaking to Perry about things, figuring out different sort of ways to blend my love for sports, my passion for sports, and a career. And I wound up figuring out a way to get into baseball. And I did that basically through networking and relationship building, but a lot of that was because of the support that Perry provided. Worked with Perry, landed a job at the Brooklyn Cyclones, who are the minor league affiliate of the New York Mets, then worked for the Toronto Blue Jays minor league affiliate, the New Haven Ravens. Then I quickly realized within a year there that baseball was not for me. It was going to require really bad work-life balance, being at the stadium for long hours, especially in the summer, long homestands, low pay was not good for me. So after some consultation with my father-in-law, I went to business school, went to Columbia Business School. And from there, I went to American Express. I was at American Express for 5.5 years. So I thought my career was kind of figured out. I was at Amex for 5.5 years. Challenge with Amex is I liked the people I worked with. I liked the work I was working on, although I didn't really have to push myself all that much, but I was disappointed with the lack of compensation. So I thought about how I could get compensated and paid what I was worth. And I focused on getting jobs in tech. Tech was hot then. It's still hot now. It's growing fast. They pay well. Very attractive organization. So I applied to a variety of companies while I was at American Express. I was in an urgent need because I had a good BATNA or an opportunity at my plan B at American Express, but I did look for roles. And during that time, I probably applied to Google about 5 times and never got a reply. Eventually, a friend of mine put me in touch with a director at Google. And after speaking to me, they thought I had a good background. This guy, Ben at Google, thought I had a good background and asked me if I was interested in this role to be product operations and escalation management. Honestly, I had no idea what that role was. I knew very little about ad technology, but when he asked me, I said, sure, I'm interested. So I got the opportunity to interview for that role. It was ups and downs, took me 11 interviews to get in. And then I finally landed the role at Google. I was super excited to be at Google. It was arguably the best place to work in the world at that time. They were paying me $62,000 more, and I got to wear jeans to work. Excited to work at Google, but even before I joined Google, I started to feel some imposter syndrome. I saw the role. I knew how smart and talented people were at Google, and before I even started there, I started to have some doubts on whether I could succeed at Google. But nonetheless, I accepted the job at Google. I started there May 11th, 2011. I think it was May 11th or May 9th. May 9th or May 11th, 2011. And I started at Google. And within a few weeks, I was just overwhelmed with not being comfortable and not feeling confident in my abilities. And really deep imposter syndrome settled in. I didn't even know the term imposter syndrome at the time, but I just felt like I was doing a really crappy job. There was very little data to say that, but I just didn't really know what I was doing. There would be times I would get an email and I would have no idea what to do with the email. I would show my wife at home, even though I'm not supposed to do that because it was confidential, but it was just like an email over the weekend where someone was asking a question. And I had no idea how to answer it. They were very simple questions to answer. My wife is like, you just need to go ask someone on your team who knows how to do this to get their help. And it was such an obvious answer. But I was freezing up. I was getting extremely anxious. I did not want to get out of bed. I was in a really tough spot. So my wife saw how challenging it was for me to deal with not being able to fit in. In hindsight, it was imposter syndrome, but I felt incompetent. I felt like I couldn't compete with these Google people. I felt like I was going to get fired there, even though there was no data that really recognized that. And my wife saw some concerns with me. My friend, who is a psychiatrist, saw some concerns with me. My mom saw some concerns with me. So because of all that, I had the support of people and the recommendation to begin working with a career coach. I also began seeing a psychiatrist as well. I consulted with my mom, who is a social worker. I consulted with my wife, who she's a doctor, but she is a primary care physician, internal medicine, so it takes a very holistic approach. So we worked on lots of things. I took a plethora of different drugs, not illegal drugs, but I stopped doing any of that. I really kind of lost an appetite. I lost about 20 pounds just because being anxious and stressed out. But because of the guidance of my wife and my mom and other people around me, I sought out help. So I talked to a psychiatrist and they gave me different sort of drugs, Valium, Seroquel. Finally, they wound up giving me Lexapro, which I've been on off and on since then in 2011. And that is to deal with stress and anxiety. Then I dealt with a career coach, this woman, Joan, who is really helpful in helping me to think through some things more clearly. After about 6 months at Google, I got a little bit more confident. I think the drugs kicked in of the Lexapro after we went through a couple of different iterations of the drugs. And I got my sea legs under me at Google. The next like 5+ years at Google, I was in good shape. I continued to stay on the Lexapro. Then come November of 2016, I got my ass fired at Google. That's a long story for another podcast that I've shared before, but I'll go into more detail another time. I actually was okay psychologically from that firing. I was disappointed. I was financially hurt, but I got right back on my feet. And within a few months, I got a consulting gig at Datadog. Then I became VP of operations at Endella. All was good then. And then I realized that Endella wasn't the right spot for me. I wanted to return back to big tech. Went to big tech, went to Facebook. As a preemptive maneuver, again, based on the advice from my wife, I got a career coach. So I worked with a great career coach, Bonnie Davis, highly recommend her. Worked with her on a monthly basis, I think maybe every other month or as needed. Worked with her just to talk about career trajectory, making sure that I didn't make some of the same mistakes that I did at Google and at BEV, at the venture capital firm, that led to me getting fired. So I tried to preempt that, work with Bonnie. And career coaches are not therapists, but a lot of the things that I talked about with Bonnie were really helpful and I would say did help with my mental health, like my ability to think about issues more thoroughly, like take some time to think and talk about issues I was dealing with at work. So despite working with Bonnie and to no fault of hers, near my boss at who recruited me at Facebook, this guy, Ben, he lost his opportunity to work at Facebook. He left there. He went on to another company. And when that happened, I got put under another leader who was on that same team as me. He got promoted into Ben's role when Ben left. And this leader was not a fan of mine. I didn't really realize it so much until in hindsight and from what people said, but he kind of had a chip on his shoulder against me. I'm still unclear why, but it did not work out well. Very quickly after he took over leading me, it was clear that he was trying to push me off the team. So I was still dealing with working with Bonnie as a career coach. But I also sought some support from Facebook for a psychologist. A lot of these companies give you mental health support, and I was dealing with some stress here. I thought that my job was at risk based on some of the hints and eventually a performance plan that was given to me. And it was not a performance plan based on my performance. My performance was the highest on the team, but just politically, me and this boss did not get along. He was not a fan of mine, and he had the authority to push me out as I was fearful of my job. Also, knowing that I've had some challenges before dealing with stress, I did reach out to Facebook. I did reach out to a therapist through their network. And I think I got, I don't know, 13 sessions with a psychologist, which was really helpful, talking through some things again. So again, I relied on mental health support. The Facebook role did not wind up panning out, and I actually wound up losing my job there in December of 2018. Left there, I still continue to see the therapist that was given to me at Facebook. I think even when I was pushed out of Facebook, I think I had COBRA benefits. So I think I was able to get that covered. And I went to him for another few months. Kind of got into better head shape after that. Stopped seeing him. I joined Tableau. Tableau was an interesting situation. I worked for a great boss, actually the same boss who had hired me at Facebook, and had a great relationship with him, but his boss was a total a-hole. And he was a bully. He harassed people. I was okay dealing with it, but it added stress to my plate. It led to several people on my team leaving the team because of my boss's boss. Started to deal with some challenges of handling my boss's boss's SVP. I asked for help in getting a career coach at Salesforce, and they assigned me one, which was great. And I got a career coach internally, this woman, Kara Wilson. She was great, very one of the best career coaches I had. She was very thoughtful and helpful in coaching me on how to think about dealing with this SVP who really was not a kind guy, and he was very difficult to deal with. While there, I think I went back on Lexapro. I think I'd gone off Lexapro, went back on Lexapro. I don't remember, but every time I've gone back on Lexapro or off Lexapro, I have re-engaged with a psychiatrist because you cannot self-medicate on this stuff. You really should be seeing a therapist or a psychiatrist on that. For those that don't know the difference, psychiatrists are often like our MDs, medical doctors, so they can prescribe drugs, and psychologists typically cannot prescribe drugs. I was seeing a career coach then. I was seeing another psychiatrist there because I went back on Lexapro, and during my time at Tableau, and then we became Salesforce, the epidemic came, COVID came, we're all at home, we're all dealing with mental stress there. But I also started Kadima Careers. And I started Kadima Careers because I was at home. I had the ability, I had some time to kind of take on a side project. There were also, I saw the writing on the wall that with this not so friendly boss, two levels above me, who was basically blocking my ability to grow at Salesforce, I either had to leave the team internally within Salesforce, and I was looking a lot for internal mobility, or I was thinking about, do I need to leave the corporate world altogether? I didn't know if that was an answer then, but I also wanted to get some other plans in place. I also was very passionate about growing and developing people, accelerating careers, focused on DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. So I started Kadima Careers. I started Kadima Careers in July of 2020. I was still at Salesforce dealing with this not so nice boss, two levels above me. Things were going okay. I was starting to scale up Kadima Careers. I started to get some traction with Kadima Careers, but then about 6 or 12 months into the launch of Kadima Careers, while I was still working at Salesforce, I got into a more depressive state. Kind of like I felt a lot like I did at Google. Google is probably more anxious. And during Kadima Careers and Salesforce, it was more depression. And I felt like I was letting my clients down if they weren't getting jobs quick enough, even though in hindsight, it likely was not my fault. I was helping people. I was supporting people. A lot of people were succeeding, but not as many people were succeeding with Kadima as I wanted to. And I felt like I was failing them. I was putting a lot of stress on myself. My wife saw this occur. I stopped like exercising a lot. I stopped going out for a walk. I don't know if I stopped walking because I was depressed or because I stopped walking, it led to me getting depressed. But I got depressed. I saw another psychiatrist, got put back on Lexapro, saw a life coach at the request of my wife. And I think that was really helpful. Life coaches are very similar to therapists, I find. They talk a lot about your thoughts and your feelings and how they intertwine and how the thoughts impact your feelings and how those feelings impact your actions. So during my time of dealing with Kadima, Salesforce, COVID, it got too much on me. It weighed too heavily on me. Saw another therapist. So I saw a psychiatrist at that time. I saw a social worker at that time. I saw a life coach. But I saw lots of different mental health support during that time with Kadima Careers. and Salesforce. Fortunately, being at a company like Salesforce, they covered most of the mental health support outside of like a $10 copay or something for the social worker, for the psychiatrist, and the life coach I paid for myself. Fortunately, I was able to overcome that as well. But throughout my career, it has been ups and downs of firing, hiring. I've been hired 29 times for 29 jobs. I've been fired 5 times. None of those firings actually led to any depression or anxiety, but leading up to those sometimes, they were very stressful situations when I knew that they were potentially coming. So mental health is something that sometimes people undervalue. It is so important to get your head in the right spot in order for you to succeed in your career, to succeed in your life, to succeed with your family, to succeed with your friends. If your head is not in the right spot, it's really hard to see life clearly, to see things clearly, to achieve your goals. And I've been fortunate enough to have support around me, to have guidance around me, to have people looking out for me and telling me and giving me the encouragement to see help. But also, I was open-minded enough to reach out for help and to be motivated to get help. And sometimes when I started with a therapist in my darkest days at Google, and then it was a little less dark during COVID and Kadima and Salesforce, it was because because I've gone through some dark periods before when I was at Google in 2011. I think when it happened again in 2021, I was more prepared for it, I think, or more accustomed to it. And I also understood that I have depression in my lineage. My grandfather was bipolar. I also understand that there is help out there and people can get help. And there are good people out there willing to help you if you ask. So I don't have any panacea for people about whether they should see a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a career coach, a life coach. But when you do have challenges with anxiety, depression, imposter syndrome, lack of confidence, other things that could be even more serious than those factors, I really encourage you to go seek out some support and some help. I don't know the best places to recommend for you. You can always reach out to me and I can give some advice. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm a PhD dropout, but I do have some suggestions and guidance of where to go and where to get some support. So you can always reach out to me. Don't be shy about asking for help. Everybody needs some help. Everybody needs some support. And if you can't afford the help, there are lots of services that give it free and for cheaper options as well. And if you are working for a large corporation, they do offer benefits typically for mental health support. So look into those, look on your intranet, and you have it at your availability and you need some help, I encourage you, reach out, get some support that you need. Just get started with somebody. You might not find the right person right away, but talking it through, having that support and guidance really has helped me throughout my career. Also being surrounded by loved ones, family, and friends, that helps obviously as well. But I think it's just a good reminder here as we're recognizing Mental Health Awareness Day on October 10th that life is tough. Careers are tough. Jobs are tough. You might have sick kids, sick parents, might have trouble paying your bills because you were laid off, might be stressed out about all the craziness that's going on in the world, all the divisiveness, all the hatred sometimes that's being spewed by people on the left and right and in between. So we're all dealing with some challenges. Don't be shy about asking for help and getting some support. And if I can help, reach out. So with that, wrapping up this episode, it's a little bit more somber of an episode, but it really shouldn't be. Everybody has challenges dealing with their mental health, and it's not anything to be ashamed about. I think it's actually great that society and people are becoming more open with it. And I am not sharing things here for the first time. A lot of people know these stories. Maybe not everybody listening here know all these stories of all my experiences with depression and anxiety and dealing with therapists and career coaches, but it's okay. Talk about it. You will be surprised on how many other people, friends, family, colleagues are also going through some challenges and have reached out for help in the past and are receiving help, and it's benefiting them. With that, thank you for your time. I appreciate you listening. If you do like this episode, if you do like the Sick Career Podcast, please rate and review it. Please share it with others so that they can learn, grow, and when they need help, can get some help. And if I can ever help, go reach out to me on KademaCareers.com. You can always find me on LinkedIn as well. I'm active there on a daily basis, multiple times per day. And the last three words I will leave with you are own your career.
That wraps up another remarkable episode of the Sick Career Podcast with Alan Stein. Check out past episodes and other resources on the website. That's sickpodcast.com, and it's S-Y-C-K. Alan, tell the audience about the newsletter they can sign up for.
The newsletter rocks. Check out the accelerator, XLR8R. You will get great tips about your career. You'll get honest insights. You'll get the occasional pet picture, and you will learn how to take proactive control and take charge of your career.
Very good. Very good. That's sickpodcast.com, S-Y-C-K. For your host, Alan Stein, I'm Russ Reba, and we hope you've enjoyed today's episode. You are going to love the next one.